and welcome to the latest edition of Nareit's REIT Report podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Borks from Quito, and my guest today is Alan Swearingen. Alan is President and CEO of JLL Income Property Trust, a daily valued perpetual life REIT advised by LaSalle Investment Management and sponsored by JLL. Welcome, Alan.
Thanks, Sarah. Happy to be here.
So, Alan, I wanted to start by asking you to describe the landscape of the non-listed REIT sector today versus just a few years ago. What shift in sentiment have you seen toward the sector?
You know, Sarah, there's been three big, quite substantive evolutional changes that we've observed in the non-listed REIT space really over the last 5 or 6 years. The first big change has been a movement towards perpetual offerings that really are geared to have an infinite life, more like an open-end fund vehicle versus many of the traditional kind of 1.0 version of the non-listed REITs. They had a limited lifespan, often just maybe 5 years, and they were their exit was trying to time an IPO and some sort of liquidity event. So the duration of the vehicle has been a big change. The second big shift has been a movement towards much more regular valuations and definitely more of an institutional valuation methodology, either daily or monthly. Our program is a daily valuation, whereas the previous versions of the non-listed REIT space often didn't value for 5 or 6 years and often didn't value until that, end liquidity event. Those changes have really been driven by regulatory reforms and to some degree, I think, more institutional players coming into the space. And then the third evolutional change we've observed has been a movement towards diversified programs by property type. Many of the non-listed REITs historically were focused on a single property type, trying to amass and aggregate a significant scale in a single property type, say industrial property or retail property or apartments or net lease, whereas I think the cutting-edge programs today and our program, by example, is diversified by property type. So they're providing investors exposure to many different geographic markets and many different property type exposures. And LaSalle was really a pioneer in doing all of these three things when we launched our program back in early 2012. In terms of the shift in the sentiment from investors, these programs historically have been focused more in the high yield space, and in some cases, both high yield, targeting to get high yield for the investors, but also often high commissions for the brokers and high fees for the sponsor. And as more institutional players have come into the space, you've really seen a decline in fees, and that these products are not so much done trying to engineer higher maybe than normal yield to the investor. They're really trying to provide investors access to the real estate asset class, and trying to focus more of an asset allocation decision like an institutional investor would versus just a product that was trying to solve and calculate a certain yield. So that's kind of the shift in the sentiment that we've seen from both the investors and the sponsor side.
Right. And you mentioned that LaSalle was a pioneer with the product back in 2012. What was the impetus at that time behind creating the new product?
So from our perspective, Sarah, as an institutional investment manager with 40 years of experience and our historic track record focused in core real estate, our goal was really to try to bring that experience and track record to the high net worth space. We felt like we had delivered for institutional investors for a very long time period, and LaSalle had a great track record and reputation of advising institutional investors in the core space. And our goal was really to try to bring that institutional expertise in and a product structure that was much more consumable for the high net worth market. And it really led us to again, I mentioned before, our focus was trying to model more of an open-ended fund. It just ended up being in a REIT structure. And And so the end result ended up being, we like to refer to it as the 2.0 version of the non-holistic REIT, because it's really, you know, provided kind of an evolutional change.
Right. And then what would individual investors and financial advisors need to know about the non-listed sector before making that decision to commit funds?
Yeah, that's a great question, Sarah. And it's important that investors and their advisors really understand that while a program such as ours, JLL Income Property Trust, while we have, you know, significantly enhanced the liquidity features from the legacy versions, you know, as a perpetual offering, you need to have a methodology for investors to add to their investment, or if over time they want to reduce their investment. And so we have some significantly enhanced liquidity features, but these are not liquid products, and investors need to understand that this is more in the realm of private equity real estate than public real estate. And as you know, we're members of the Public Non-Listed REIT Council and big supporters and advocates for NAREIT and their initiative. And NAREIT's been very supportive of the public non-listed REITs. But if investors really need liquidity and want to be able to, you know, sell their position every single day of the week, then they should be investing in public REITs, and that's a great market too, and we're big investors in public REITs, but we also think there's a good case for owning, you know, real estate in a non-tradable fashion, and that's what our solution tries to provide, but it is less liquid. We own institutional quality buildings that you know, range anywhere from, you know, $30 million to $150 million. And those take time to buy, and they also take time to sell. And so investors should have a longer-term investment horizon with these sorts of programs. We typically advise at least 5 to 7 years or longer. So it's really understanding that these are long-term investments and not liquid. And to be sure not to confuse, while we strike a daily valuation, you know, I try to remind people all the time that please don't confuse daily valuation with daily liquidity, because while we have some very nice liquidity features, we're not as liquid as the traded market, and investors need to understand that.
Okay, and then finally, I wanted to ask you about your expectations in terms of how much runway for growth exists in the daily NAV segment of the market.
You know, Sarah, we're very bullish on this market, and while overall sales for the last couple of years have been down in the non-listed REIT market, you've seen a very big shift from sales of the 1.0 version to the NAV offerings such as ours. And we think there's very significant upside in these. Like there's been, you know, very strong growth in the market cap of public REITs, we think there's going to be very strong growth in these new NAV-based REITs. And we really base that upon looking at how our institutional clients historically have had a significant allocation to real estate, often an 8 to 12% allocation. But if you look at the asset allocation models of most of the high net worth private client space, it's often 2% or lower for all alternatives, much less real estate. And real estate fundamentally is a strong asset class for providing income and lower volatility and good correlation metrics to other asset classes, both stocks and bonds. And as the high net worth private client sector really gets to understand the benefits of understanding real estate and what it can do for their portfolios, we see significant growth opportunity. We think the key for that growth is continuing to be sure that there's very strong sponsors in the market, very strong products, and that these programs should kind of have that institutional feel. So we see significant upside in growth in this business, and we entered it, you know, 6 years ago, and we entered it with a very long-term goal in mind of what we think we can achieve over the next 10 to 20 years. So I think you've got to also have a long-term horizon.
Okay, Alan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sarah. I really enjoyed our conversation and look forward to working more closely with NAREIT going forward.
And to our listeners, be sure to visit REIT.com for all previous episodes of the REIT Report.